You are listening to the Sheep Guarding Llama Podcast, episode 51 for November 9th, 2006. I am your host, Scott Allen Miller, and welcome to the show.
Hey girl, you just took me higher, set my soul on fire, with everything you've got. You're hot, feels good, I can't believe it. You're the one to be with. Give me one more shot. You're hot, you're hot. Well, am I still dreaming? Or is this the real thing? But now it's come this far, I know just who you are. So what I'm really saying now, I like it just the way you are. And I don't want you to ever.
And as always, our music here on the Sheep Guarding Llama Podcast was brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network. You can check them out online for yourself at music.podshow.com. All right. I am so thrilled to be back and doing the show again. I know it has been a while. I'm not sure how long it's been since episode 50, but we are officially on the second half of our century here as we head towards our 100th episode. We're halfway there, and this is our first one in our second half, so I'm excited. 51's a pretty big landmark to get to, I think, in any podcast, and especially for, you know, an amateur podcast like this. We're not making any money. We don't have any advertisers. I'm not doing this professionally. I'm not working in new media, so this is pretty cool that we've made it this far. So the big news that I'm sure most of our listeners already know, but for those of you who don't, this is our very first episode coming from the metropolis of Newark, New Jersey. Now, for those of you who don't know where Newark, New Jersey is, Newark is the, first of all, it's the largest city in New Jersey. Has a total metro area of about 2.2 million, so that's roughly, almost exactly the size of the entire Rochester metro area and the entire Buffalo metro area combined. Each of them are about 1.1 million, so this is quite a large city. and it's actually just the western portion of the New York City metro area. We're actually located right in downtown Newark, in the on the downtown intersection of Raymond and Broad Street, right on Military Park at 1180 Raymond, the second tallest building in the city, 35 stories. And from the studio right now, where I'm recording, I'm looking out the window as I'm recording this. It's about 8 o'clock at night, almost right on the nose, and I have a beautiful view of Midtown Manhattan. I can see the Empire State Building, I can see Chrysler, I can see Uptown along Central Park, I can see all the way down to the Village, and I can see Secaucus and Jersey City and everything in between. And it is absolutely beautiful. And if I look out a different window, I can see downtown just south of Wall Street. I can obviously see downtown Newark all around me. And if I look out another window yet, I can see the Port of Newark down on the lower Hudson River. So this is an absolutely phenomenal location as far as the view goes, and we're very excited. Now, from here, travel time into Manhattan is about 18 minutes, and that's by train, which is from Newark Penn Station, goes to New York Penn Station. And a lot of people, it's kind of confusing, and a lot of people wonder why everything's called Penn Station. Long ago, when all these train stations were put in, there was a Pennsylvania Railroad, who no longer exists, and that railroad would have their own stations. And then often nearby, for example, in New York, everyone's familiar with Grand Central Station. That's where the I believe it was the Grand Central Railroad, but it might have been the New York Railroad came in. There's a Grand Central right here in Newark that still exists, that's not used anymore, but the building's still there. There was a New York Railroad stop in Rochester at one point. So that's how these places got their names. So there's a Penn Station in every city here on the East Coast, and it's just very confusing. And there's a Union Station almost everywhere and a Grand Central Station almost everywhere. And these were the big railroads at the time that named their stations for them so people would know who they are. And now, obviously, we only use a few of them, so it's very confusing now. But we are right next to Penn Station here in Newark, which is great because we have Amtrak, which goes obviously all over the country and connects to Canada. We have the New Jersey Transit System, which takes you all over the state of New Jersey. And we have the Newark Light Rail and the Newark Subway, which takes you over quite a bit of Newark. And actually, the Newark subway actually comes into our building here. So if we don't want to walk to Penn Station, two blocks away, three blocks away, we can take the subway, which is pretty cool. So if the weather's bad or whatever, you can just hop that right over there. And we also have the PATH, which takes you into downtown, right down to the World Trade Center. The New Jersey Transit, I should say, and Amtrak both can jet us right over to Midtown, to Penn Station in New York, where we can catch the Amtrak connectors or the PATH connectors there, or Long Island Railroad, or whatever. So getting places by rail from here is absolutely phenomenal. It is great. And as far as commuting around in Manhattan, we can get to Manhattan almost as fast as people who live on like the Upper West Side. So it is absolutely cool. This is, let me tell you, when recommending places for people to live down here, Newark is well worth checking out. We did a bunch of shopping around. We were really interested in Jersey City and Hoboken, Edgewater, that area right along the Hudson, and you do lose out on the waterfront being here in Newark. You are landlocked. There's no waterfront. We do have the Passaic River coming through, and it's okay. We can see it from here. We can see the bridges, but it's not like having a waterfront on the Hudson, which is one of the coolest river waterfronts in the country. But it is. This is just a great location. We were looking at Jersey City and we were looking at Hoboken, and they're great because they're really close to Manhattan. The views are better, obviously, from over there, but it is almost impossible to get a view over there. It's very expensive, and it's very exclusive. And what we found is that the prices are 2 to 3 times what they are here in Newark, and the commute time into Manhattan is only about 5 minutes less. And the quality of the apartments was actually much lower because no one could afford to have really nice apartments over there. They have to have kind of cheap apartments because the views are so expensive. And so it loses something. And everyone who lives there is a commuter into Manhattan. And so the flavor of life there is very much just a commuting community. Whereas Newark has its own Newark lifestyle to some degree. And so even though you can commute everywhere from Newark, you don't have to. You can also enjoy Newark it has its own life here a little bit. So We looked at Jersey City, and the prices were too high. And for us, because neither of us work, Dominican and I both do not work in Manhattan. We work in Jersey. So Newark is much easier. If you live in Jersey City, you have to fight your way out of Jersey City traffic. You have to get into the Newark metro area, fight your way through Newark, and then you can go out into New Jersey. But from here, Dominica is able to get to work in about 10 to 15 minutes, and I'm able to get to work, if traffic's good, in about 26 minutes, which is excellent. And we can be in Pennsylvania in an hour, going straight out on Route 80. So it's great. It's easier for us to get home from here than it was when we were in North Brunswick. And let me tell you, we are so thrilled to be out of North Brunswick. You know, it was great. It saved us a lot of money, and it wasn't the worst place in the world. But unless you need to be down in that area, I don't suggest living down there. But this Newark is a place that makes you want to be here if you find the right place. And we are just loving it. I can't even tell you how happy we are. We were, a lot of you know, we were in the process of buying a house. We actually made an offer. It was accepted. We were going right down to the signing. And we were, this is out in Lebanon, New Jersey, which is on Route 78 on the west side of the state. So this was very rural. It had a train station. We were very, very fond of the place we were going to get. It was a condo. And at the very last minute, we had some problems, and our lawyer told us that it was going to be bad for us, and we needed to not do it. So we decided to wait, and we are very glad we did, because Lebanon is going to be great. If you want to live in the country in Jersey, definitely go take a look at Lebanon. And we were very happy in general with the builder who was doing the work there. It was Kaplan, and I would definitely do business with them again. And so I would suggest to a lot of people, if you're looking at rural Jersey, go look at Lebanon. It's quite the dream location if you're looking for a little bit more country, small village kind of life, which is not, we knew that wasn't what we were looking for, but we were so excited about this location out there that we decided to kind of go with it anyway, and we should have known better, but when that fell through, we immediately started looking for as close to Manhattan as we could get. And looked at a lot of stuff that was just way too expensive and we couldn't justify. And then we looked at this one place in Newark, and we knew that Newark was the physical location that worked the best for us, but it was tough to find something. But now that we know Newark a little bit, we just love it. We are so happy. We don't plan on buying anything for quite some time. We're just going to keep renting here because we are just so happy with the whole situation, the renting, the complex that we're in, the building, the view, the travel time, everything. The people here, Newark is a friendly city. It's wonderful. You just walk, everybody says hello, and they talk to you, and you feel at home in Newark. At least I do. I think it's great. It's not so cold as a lot of the Jersey cities. So it's very neat. And our location here, we're downtown, like I said. Education-wise, there's a lot of opportunities here. Essex County College is just two blocks to the west. A couple blocks past there is UMDNJ, which is the University Medical and the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. They have a big hospital there and the school connected with them. Right in between them, I believe it is the Rutgers Newark campus, which is not a huge school, but it's a good size campus there. And then just next to that is NJIT, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, which is a major technology school. So we have four colleges just to the west of us, and I believe there's one or two more schools in town that I don't even know. So it's pretty cool. And it's great that people who want to come visit us can drive here a little bit faster than they could drive to where we were before. People who are staying with us can use this as a launching off point to go to Manhattan. Although we did lose the advantage of being able to get to Philly very easily. But also, anyone who wants to come visit us can just come by train and can take the train all the way to within two blocks of the apartment and can just walk the rest of the way or take the subway right to the building. So it is much more convenient than any place we would ever have looked at if our friends want to come spend some time with us. And actually, Josh had some work in the Jersey City area, and he came down and hung out for 2 days here right after we moved in. But we really didn't get to spend any time with him. He came down during a time when I was doing a lot of work. I was working 75-hour weeks at the office and was just coming home, sleeping, and going right back in. And we were doing a lot of traveling on the weekends, so I really didn't get to see Josh when he was down. But now things have slowed down. I'm working normal 50-hour weeks. coming home, getting to enjoy the apartment and the Newark lifestyle. And now this week, Susan Spafford is down, and she just took a job here in Newark. This is really cool. She actually called us just a couple weeks ago and said she had just gotten a job in Newark and was wondering how close we lived to where she was working. At the time, she and Zach were not aware that we were living in Newark. Last they knew, we were living in New Brunswick, North Brunswick. And she was hoping that we were somewhere kind of nearby that maybe she'd be able to commute into work. And it turns out that we're pretty much directly across the street from where she's working. So she's staying here for the week, and we'll be back next week. And she's currently in the process of looking for an apartment. We're hoping that she decides to move into our building so that we have some people to hang out with. But Newark is a cool city, and she's going to be discovering that along with us very soon. One of the really cool things about Newark is just to the east of us. We can see this out the window. I'm actually looking at it right now as I talk about it. There is a community, one of the districts of the city known as the Ironbound. It's just to the east of downtown. It's called the Ironbound because it's completely surrounded by railroad tracks. No railroads go through it, but the railroads go all the way around it on three sides, and on the other side it's bounded by the Passaic River. And that area has traditionally been a Portuguese city unto itself inside Newark, which is really cool. And it's actually the largest city with a Portuguese the largest Portuguese population outside of Portugal and Brazil. And it's really cool. It's got a high Galician Spanish population, Portuguese and Brazilian population, and it's really neat to go down there. It's a very safe part of the city, very affluent, and there's a lot of really cool shops and businesses and bakeries and restaurants, and we've discovered this place called Mom Pau, which is absolutely excellent Portuguese tapas, and the whole lifestyle down in Iron Mound is really cool, and we're really enjoying that we're able to do that. And we've already grabbed the train one night and shot in after work on like a Thursday night. We ran in to Manhattan and we went and saw Spamalot on Broadway and came home. And like, you know, it was like I left like half an hour early from work, and we were able to casually make it in and casually walk to the show, made it in, took plenty of time to kill, made it back out, went and got ice cream, and we were home by 10:30 without rushing ever anywhere and without driving, just by taking the train and walking to the train station, not doing anything to expedite our trip. And the whole thing was so comfortable, and to be able to do it on a Thursday night is the coolest thing ever. And so we're really looking forward to having the opportunity to go in to Broadway and to see the plays and the musicals and everything on just during the week, which is something we've never had before and we'll probably never have again. So we really want to take advantage of that and enjoy it while we're here. So I'm wondering how much I should tell you. I don't want to ramble on for too long. We do have a one-bedroom, one-bath. We don't have a lot of space. So if you're coming down to stay with us, you know, let us know. Be prepared that it's not a large space, but we do have a futon, and everyone's welcome to come down and hang out and enjoy the best of New Jersey. And we've got some cool restaurants right next door, and we've got a park, and it's just wonderful. We are having a really great time. And we're very excited about it. So Newark is the place to be. And as we do the show, I will have more and more to tell you about Newark as we get used to it. We've been here for about 6 weeks now, and we're still learning a lot about the city. And the building we're in is actually still being finished. It's partially under construction. The building's actually a 1929 construction, finished in 1930, Art Deco masterpiece. Absolutely beautiful building. It was vacant for the last 20 years, so it's in terrible disrepair, and this is it's around $110 million are going into renovating this building, 35 floors, right in the heart of downtown. All the brass is being cleaned up, all the every single thing is being completely renovated, and it is turning from this old dilapidated skyscraper into an absolute masterpiece of architecture that's really going to be something that Newark can be proud of. And we're just very excited to be a part of that, and we're watching it happen every day as we walk through the building. When we first moved in, the entire lobby was still under construction, and now the lobby's done, and the health club actually opened today. They did a soft opening. It's not officially open for about a week, but we have an 8,000-square-foot health club that I'm actually going to, after I do the show, I'm hoping to run down and check it out and see what it looks like. Our bowling alley in the building just opened up last week, I believe it was. We have a four-lane bowling alley just for the residents. And coming very soon, we have a new media room coming, which is going to have like a big screen LCD with Xbox 360 and stuff provided for us, which is pretty cool. I wasn't really going to go out and buy an Xbox 360, but if the building's going to give us one to use for free, I'll totally buy a game or two and go down and have a great time playing games once in a while. I don't even own a television, so it's absolutely perfect for us. And they're putting in a half-court basketball court, so if you just want a game of two-on-two or whatever, you can play. They're putting in a small lounge for people who just want to, you know, hang out and have some tables. I believe we're getting a billiard room, which would be pretty neat. I can see using that from time to time. So there's a lot of amenities that are really cool. So we're excited. All right, well, that's enough about Newark for now. You'll be hearing plenty about Newark and everything going on here in the very near future, especially now that Susan is moving to town. You'll be hearing, I'm sure, a lot from her. Maybe we can even get her to come on the show. She just recently discovered Rocket Boom and AskANinja.com, so maybe she's getting into this whole new media thing. We'll see. We'll see if we can get her listening to the show, and then she'll find out that we're talking about her, and then she will want to be on the show because we're just cool. So I'm going to take this opportunity to play Heather Sullivan and her song Stronger, which has actually been on our to playlist, unfortunately, since December of last year. So for 11 months, this has been sitting on our list, and I'm trying to go back and get some of these great songs that we've had just waiting to get onto the show played. So I'm glad to finally be able to play this, and I will be back as soon as this song is over. So this is Stronger by Heather Sullivan.
Light a candle.
back. And that was Stronger by Heather Sullivan. And as always, music.podshow.com, the PodSafe Music Network, who is so gracious to run the service that provides us with all of this awesome PodSafe music, music that is licensed for podcasting, which is just the coolest thing that so many artists have figured out that they can go out, give these songs away, and get a huge listener base and be discovered. And it's really working for a lot of people. And people who otherwise, you know, may have no one ever listened to them now actually have an audience. It's just cool. We've been gone for so long. There's so many topics that I want to talk about, so many things I want to, like, fill everybody in on, that I really got to kind of keep this short. It's easy for me to run on for a really long time, and I'm really trying not to do that. I really want to keep the show short and get rolling on this on a regular basis again. It is very difficult for me to do with my current schedule. I'm actually only able to do this tonight because Dominica had a horrible headache and had to go to bed really early, and I had plenty of time to myself to be able to do this. So we will see when I manage to get these done. While I'm thinking of it, I want to give a shout out to two new listeners that we have. This is going to be the first episode that they're listening to that's new, to Eric McAlvin and Chris Purcell from Long Island, who are tuning in and checking out Sheep Guarding Llama, who just discovered the whole site and the whole SGL media frenzy about a week ago. And welcome, guys. Thanks for checking it out. I want to remind our listeners who are coming in and checking us out on Podomatic that, first of all, thank you to Podomatic for providing the hosting and advertising for us. That's been great. We've been with them ever since our very first hosted episode. We did a couple without them right at the beginning. So since about episode 4, we've been with Podomatic. But for our listeners who don't know, the Sheep Guarding Llama podcast is the audio supplement to www.sheepguardinglama.com, which is my personal online diary, really. It's my identity blog. I've been doing it since 2000. I do it on a regular basis. Earlier this year, we surpassed the length of the entire King James Bible, and at this point, I believe we are now over 1 million words online, searchable. I should also remind you, so if you're looking for a specific topic, you can do a search and find things. There's just a lot of stuff on there. There's you can check out this podcast in higher quality MP3 and even higher quality yet, Aug Vorbis, with hosting provided by Our Media and the Internet Archive. You can read the blog, which has just an unbelievable amount of information. And you can also check out the often wacky video blog or vlog, which no one can decide what it's going to be called, that I put on there, which is normally me riding in the car or walking around my apartment or something holding a small digital camera that shoots video. So those are a lot less professional than this show, which is almost a radio show. But those are really amateur, but they're silly, and a lot of people have fun with them. And quite often it's just, you know, commute with me to work, or here's my apartment. And there actually is a new video on there of our new apartment. So get on there and check it out, and you can see what we're talking about. And if you're watching that video or looking at any pictures of our apartment, it's actually Dominica's desk that I'm sitting at, and when I'm talking about the views that I can see, that's the chair that I'm sitting in, describing the views. So just to kind of bring you in and make you a part of the action. And also on there, I should mention, there's a Flickr feed, so if you want to just check out Flickr or subscribe to the Flickr feed, currently there's about 250 pictures on there, but we just switched up to a pro account today, and I am now uploading not just current pictures, but I'm trying to get my entire picture archives that I have up on there, so expect there to be thousands of pictures soon, so you can not just you know, see Oreo chilling on the couch that I took a picture of this week or whatever, but you can see a lot of childhood pictures and places I've been and different things. And really soon you're gonna have all the Scott and Dominica wedding pictures and vacation pictures and all that kind of stuff, so be sure to check that out. I think that's a lot of fun, especially for people who are discovering the show for the first time. All right, the last topic I'm going to talk about today, and this is probably not what you're expecting, but right about the time we moved here, I was working really long hours, And we have, for those of you who don't know, we don't have a television, haven't for many years, and we don't have any DVD player here. We don't have, we've got a computer. Once in a while, we watch DVDs on the computer. We don't have, obviously, any kind of video game system or anything like that because we have no television. So our entertainment options are pretty limited, and for the most part, we don't have that much time to use any. But I was working really long hours, and I had a Sunday afternoon off, and we were just surfing around online, and we were looking at the new Nintendo DS Lites and discovered that they had a new form factor, they were wireless, they had all these cool new features, and they're really not that expensive, and we decided that I've been doing so much overtime that we owed ourselves a little something just to celebrate, you know, all the work that I was doing, to retaliate for all the work I was doing, I don't know. And we ran out to Target, and we bought two Nintendo DS Lites. I got a black one, Dominica got a pink one. And we got a couple of games for them. And one of the things that makes the DS Lite really cool is that it plays the Game Boy Advance games, which we have tons of. About 4 years ago, the Game Boy Advance was pretty popular, and Dominica and I decided there was all these games we wanted to play for the GBA, and we went out and we bought each other Game Boy Advances. And we loved the games on them, and the whole thing was pretty cool, but what we discovered was it was so hard to see the screens that it really made it that there were so few situations where we could actually use the GBAs that we never did. And if you wanted to play head-to-head, you have had to have all these weird wires. Everybody had to have two copies of the game. It just didn't happen. I've never played. I had a Game Boy. I had a Game Boy Color. I had a Game Boy Advance. And with all of them, I had all the equipment to play head-to-head games. And I remember one time when I was in high school, so this would be like 1993, I think, was the year that I lost my original Game Boy. So I bet in 1993... I knew Josh Relier had the same Game Boy, the original 1988 Game Boy that I did, and we had the connecting cable, and we both had a copy of Tetris, and we would play head-to-head Tetris in the hallway in the old building of York Central High on the basement floor of this 1932 school, and him and me and Michael Slain and Steve Romano would sit down there and we'd pass around the Game Boys and play Tetris head-to-head. It was not exactly the most exciting thing ever, and that's the most ever that we used. We probably did that one time. I just happen to remember it. So with the DS Lites, we decided that they were wireless. They really gave a lot of ways to do a bunch of things that we couldn't do before. So we decided it was worth it. We haven't had anything in a while, and we don't have a TV or anything like that, so it wasn't that big of an expense. Well, we got them, and let me tell you, we absolutely love them. If you're into handheld gaming at all, the Nintendo DS Lite is the piece of equipment to get. The Sony PSP is very expensive. It's got a great screen, but it's really glitchy. I've heard that there's a lot of problems that Sony won't fix, that it's just broken, and Sony calls it features, but a lot of things just don't work. It has a very slim selection of games. There is no back catalog of games to play on it, so if the handful of games that exist aren't what you want to spend hundreds of dollars on, you're just out of luck. With the Nintendo DS Lite, there's a lot of current DS games available for it, and all the Game Boy Advance games. Now, it does not play Game Boy or Game Boy Color games. This is important for people with those old legacy systems. The best experience for that would be to go get the Nintendo Advance, the Game Boy Advance SP. It has a backlit screen and will play those games. That's what you need if you have a bunch of those really old games to play. We have some of those, but none that we really want to keep playing. They're so old and so cheesy, really, at this point, that we really don't care about them very much. But our Game Boy Advance games, there's some excellent stuff. There's really good stuff still coming out for the Game Boy Advance, because if you don't need the features of the DS, you could bring out games for the Game Boy Advance, and when you play them on the DS Lite, the screen quality is so good and the battery life is so good that we were amazed. It's like an entirely new game. These old games that you can get on eBay for almost nothing, you know, $5-$10, and these games are absolutely excellent on the DS Lite. We love it. The screen quality is wonderful. The touch screen we thought was going to be really awful, and it's not. Nintendo really makes it sound like it's the greatest thing ever, and it is not. But in the games that use it intelligently, it's an okay feature. I don't think that it was the way to go. I think the system would have been better if they'd have done something else, made the top screen bigger and better and given up on the bottom screen altogether, or made the bottom screen just not a touch screen. I don't know, but it's still pretty cool. And there are some interesting things that they've done with it, and I'm sure over time people will come up with more and more ways to use it that makes sense and less gimmicky. But overall, the system is very cool, and the wireless works very well. And there's a bunch of DS games that will allow you to play head-to-head in real basic modes, even owning only one cartridge. You don't have to own two copies of every game. Mario Kart, Mario 3-on-3 Basketball, Star Fox, things like that. We got Mario Kart, and it's great. You could race against each other. It's just like playing the Nintendo N64 system from, 1994 with the 3D graphics and everything, but it's actually better than that little handheld thing. The screen is gorgeous, and the thing that we really like, this is the first handheld that we've had that's backlit, and that makes all the difference in the world. For anyone who's coming from the old not backlit era, because we didn't get Nintendo Game Boy SPs in between. So this is the first actually backlit handheld system for either of us, and it's great because one of the really great places to play something like this is in bed. You're going to bed and you're not quite tired yet. You want to play a game maybe just for 15 minutes with the DS Lite. We just keep them by the side of the bed. We pick them up, turn them on, and in the dark you can play these games. And it's great. It's just a wonderful combination of portability and cost and quality of gameplay. And I really feel that the DS Lite is what it is, there's the DS, and then they just brought out the DS Lite. The DS Lite has all the power of the DS, but in a smaller package. And the size does help. It's a lot more portable. The battery life is a little bit better. The screens are a little bit better. The construction is a little bit better. They learned a little bit more so the screens last longer. So the whole thing's pretty cool. I would definitely recommend if you're into video games and you haven't seriously auditioned the DS system, it really is worth taking a look at. And if you have a bunch of the Game Boy Advance games that you just haven't had a chance to enjoy because of the way the Game Boy Advance was, definitely consider the DS. It could make all the difference for you. And if you're like me, we owned a number of them, but there's not that many of the old games that we really want to go back and play again, or we got the wrong ones or whatever. I immediately went out to eBay, and so far I've gotten just about every Game Boy Advance game that I really want. The only ones that are really eluding me yet, Golden Sun 2, I definitely want, and I haven't gotten that yet. That's the only big one. The Boktai I'd like to try out. There's a couple others that might be interesting, but once I have Golden Sun 2, my core collection of Game Boy Advance games will be complete. We have about 25 games, I think, altogether, and they're so cheap that it's worth having them. And then we've already got about 8 or 9 DS games, and they are coming out on a pretty regular basis. But currently for us, there's definitely the back catalog of GBA games, because both Dominic and I are very much into like the adventure and the role-playing games. The GBA is the perfect platform for that, so there's just a lot of really great titles available that we can check out, especially Final Fantasy 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 are all available for the Game Boy Advance, and 3 is available for the DS, so we're able to play all those now, which is really cool. Actually, Final Fantasy VI is not quite out yet for the GBA. 5 just came out. 6 is coming, but pretty soon we will have the entire collection again. So I've gone a little bit longer than I wanted, but only by a couple minutes. So I'm glad everyone has stuck with me, or at least the people who are hearing this have stuck with me. But that was, I just had to tell you guys about the Nintendo DS Lite, because the original Game Boy was amazing. And it was, it was happiness in a $100 plastic box that you could take around with you when I was young. And, the Game Boy Color was a pretty sad update to it. And the Game Boy Advance was great in a lot of ways, but they just executed it so poorly that it really was a disappointment. And the DS Lite is such a big jump over the original Game Boy and everything that's come since it, that I would put it on par or surpassing the quality of the original Game Boy in innovation. So, I mean, this is a big step in the world of handheld games. And it had to come. We knew that it had to be relatively soon that we would get something like this. It couldn't go on much longer with the old technologies, but it's finally here. This is the era of really great handheld games, and cheap. When you're comparing this to, the PlayStation 3 games are going to be out at $75 a game, probably, the Xbox 360 at $60 a game, you're spending big money But when you're looking at the Game Boy Advance games, you know, $10 to $15, and the DS games, $20, $25, maybe $30, this can be a very good investment very easily. So I'm going to let Greg Tannen, with his song It's You, take us out of episode 51. I am so glad to be back and doing the show, and I hope to have another show for you very, very soon. Thanks for tuning in, and welcome to Newark with me. And I'm sorry about the background noise. There's no way to stop it in Newark. There are just cars honking and ambulances going by constantly because we're on the downtown intersection. So I apologize. I just can't do anything about it. We're stuck with that. But it's just great to be back, and it's great to be in Newark. Thank you again. Once, for the last time, Greg Tannen, It's You.
Darling, you're leaving me weak. I can't eat what's before me and laugh at the thought of sleep. Oh, leave your lamp on high. That's the only reason why that I do the things I do. It's you. Takes my breath away. Hey, all the things you have said and the nights that you'll never stay. It's you, it's you, darling, it's you. Take a drive, now we'll be there. Take a tumble through space, and I'll say that I always cared about how your hair fell down, and that running around made me do the things I did. It's you, takes my breath away. Hey, all the things you have said and the nights that you'll never stay. It's you. Hollow.